today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, did you get the fix for your car?
No, Jim, it's totaled and burnt beyond recognition. One thing led to another, and it was in flames.
No, Patrick, I'm talking about an album by the band The Fix for your next car. Okay, we got more fan mail, guys.
Yeah, we do. This is really good. We're hearing from some old friends and some new friends.
I guess that covers it.
Pretty much. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lusker.
And from time to time, we like to open up the mailbag and answer some of the fan mail we get. Because at the end of every show, we're always big on, like, you know, call this, email this.
Right. Do it.
Stick your head out the window and yell. Send us free stuff. All these things.
A scroll.
And let me emphasize, send us free stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes people actually do these things.
Yep.
And then we feel we should, you know, address that. So
yeah, absolutely.
It's been a while since we've answered these. So yeah. I'll just read this first one here.
Okay.
Kevin Clement from Louisiana says, sorry to hear about the car, Patrick.
Yeah, that's right. my car that caught on fire.
The car caught on fire one day.
Kia Rondo.
Yep. And he says, in January, I was in a wreck which totaled the vehicle.
Mm.
Oh.
The main thing I miss is the cassette player. I didn't think to take it out first.
Yeah.
I have a 6-disc changer in the new vehicle.
Mm.
New in quotes, right? Because a 6-disc changer wouldn't exactly be new these days. And he says, I've been listening to some CDs I haven't listened to since the 90s.
Oh, that's
so that's
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I like that.
And I guess he's okay from totaling the car.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the CD or the cassette player didn't survive.
Right. Okay. You know, I hate that the cassette player's gone, but it's good that Kevin's safe.
Yeah.
You know, and that it would never be a trade. You always take Kevin over cassette player.
Exactly. That's the important thing.
Now, an 8-track player, no, I'm kidding, but I'm joking. But yeah, you know, it's interesting. You know, we were talking a little bit, Sam and I, kind of on the way out here about satellite radio. And I think you and I, Jim, were talking about it. I rented a vehicle because I don't have a car to take a trip. But when you get a different format or like you're presented with that, it opens your ears in kind of a new way. So it's kind of cool that, you know, a 6-disc changer, easy for you to say, and you put them all in there and then kind of spend time with them when you haven't listened to them in a long time. You hear stuff with fresh ears. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Is that the six disc changer in the trunk?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
there's really no better.
There's no other way.
6-disc changer.
Yes. Thank you.
We've talked about that from time to time. That was a crazy thing that happened once.
What were people thinking?
Put the CD player in the trunk. So now we have another email here from another guy named, it's Clements, not Clement.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Who would like to read this one?
Anybody volunteering for this?
I'll volunteer.
Are you going to volunteer?
The intern will volunteer.
All right, Sam, go for it, buddy.
Okay, this is addressed to Jim and Patrick.
From Christopher Clements of Portland, Oregon.
All right. Jim and Patrick, hello there. I was a tired and true fan of...
Tried and true.
See, I'm tired. Pardon me.
All right.
I was a tried and true fan of, quote, the old podcast, and was very disappointed when it ended. I'm a very casual Twitter user, but one marvelous day I was on there and Jim had a new podcast listed. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
As Patrick might say, fantastic. I'm just past the 140 mark after binging for a few weeks. And boy, is it nice to have you back.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Isn't that sweet? I had a music moment recently, and I don't have anyone that I talk to regularly that I thought might make an interesting conversation for you two to address. This summer has been marked by a lot of listening to the 1983 album Reach the Beach by The Fix. Great album, by the way. It's the 35th anniversary, and they are actually doing a Reach the Beach tour to support it. Amazing. My first concert of personal choice that I went to was A Flock of Seagulls and The Fix in 1983. It blew my mind and made my music number one in my world for years to come. Here's my Rocking the Suburbs moment. I had Reach the Beach on cassette and must have listened to that and A Flock of Seagulls album, Listen, 1,000 times. But my cassette days are long gone. We still kept our important CDs, but most of our music is digital. Back in the Wild West era of the internet, I grabbed lots of MP3s of albums that I once loved but have been lost to time. I too remember those days. Mm-hmm. I dug out my Reach the Beach download and have been keeping it in high rotation lately. It actually is a vinyl rip and has the pops and surface noise of an actual album in the recording. For me, it just makes it that much better. It's still a great album. It opens with Stand or Fall and then is followed by One Thing Leads to Another. Phenomenal song. It's an amazing 1-2 punch to start a great front to back album. Man, it keeps going. One day, I went and wikied the album to deep dive a little. I was very surprised to learn the Stand or Fall is actually from the first album, Shuttered Room. Being 35 plus years old, I didn't realize that Reach the Beach had been augmented. That made me think of the days when a lot of my music were tapes made or copied for me by my friends. The reason I'm writing you is, remember the days when you would have a tape that you loved, a tape that was the definitive version that you first heard? Have you ever had an experience when someone edited the album and you didn't find out until later? Maybe they killed a track they didn't like or put something else in, example, the B-side of the track from another album. Sometimes there was random songs added to the end that filled up the blank part of the tape. Sometimes songs were missing because you couldn't really squeeze two albums onto one cassette. Personal disappointment was Prince's 1999 was originally a cassette for me. When I converted to CDs, the amazing Jam, DMSR, Dance Music Sex Romance, wasn't on the CD because of time constraints. Total bummer. I'm sure you two have some of these stories. I'd love to hear yours and the listener stories of modified albums. I think those moments may be lost of you when you thought you knew an album from front to back and years later discovered that there were two more songs on it that you had never heard. Thank you for keeping the suburbs safe. Christopher Clements, from a PDX.
PDX.
Yeah.
That's a great email.
That was quite a read. Thank you, Christopher.
It is, but thank you for getting through that because it's really good stuff there.
Oh, it's mm-hmm. great, and thanks for being back on board, Christopher. We're glad to have you.
So first, before we get into the cassettes, because I do have a couple things on there, okay. I want to just reference where you said something about the Wild West days of the internet. Mm-hmm. I think that's the period of time where you could just download stuff for free.
Napster. Right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, oh, yeah. Yes.
I remember those days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not that any of us ever did that.
And then as far as these different sequences go or different versions of albums that you thought you knew and you didn't. So I don't know. You have any examples of things like this?
I will say that I am probably the person who perpetrated some of those tapes that, you know, my tracks might have been deleted because they weren't that good. But the main thing that was really interesting to me, I had a friend, a really good friend of mine, Steve Healy, who back in the day had a DJ slot on WTJU at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. And he would allow us every now and then when we were down there visiting him, he had the coveted like Thursday 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. slot or something. We would go to the station with him. And while he was doing his show, we would pull out albums and tape them on the uh-huh. tape player that they had. And it was a fascinating place because all the DJs would write in marker their comments on the album. So you'd pull out.
I have one of those.
You ever seen those? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing.
I have a couple.
Yeah. Pull out Damaged and have like, you know, the five DJs comments. I remember pulling out a Dinosaur album and somebody said, trying to sound like the Birds or something like that. But what I would do is when, you know, I'd tape the album and if there was extra space, I would get another album by that band and just start putting more tracks on there.
Really?
Yeah. And I was always sharing those tapes around. So that's, that was my big thing, like put the B-sides or put other tracks by the band on to fill up that 45 minutes.
I would do that same, same
just
thing.
Just cram it in there.
Yeah. Especially as I recall, especially if I was giving it to someone else, I would actually, you know, I would add some stuff to fill it
exactly.
out.
Exactly. Yeah. Here, I'm giving you everything I got, you know, like this is your introduction to it. So, I also liked in Christopher's email, that he said first concert of personal choice. So he may have been taken to some concerts
right.
that weren't his choice.
That's true. The,
I like that.
The other thing I recall, he mentions having an album on cassette and then getting it on CD and it's not quite right. This, we've talked about this before too. Back in the cassette era, one of the things, one of the reasons you might buy a cassette as opposed to a vinyl album was because it would sometimes have extra songs on it.
Like
because
The Cure.
They had more space.
That's right.
Yeah, well, The Cure one is extreme, but even sometimes just a couple more you know, bonus tracks because they had more space on the cassette than they did the vinyl album. And so...
Yeah, and that was always a disappointing thing about buying like a pre-recorded cassette. It's like, well, there's like four songs on the side.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like, or entire program repeats on each side. Yeah. Like sometimes you would see that.
Yeah.
The other thing that this isn't so much the definitive version of an album, but a lot of times when I would make mixtapes for myself to listen to in the car and just, you know, this was in the pre-satellite radio days and the pre-streaming and iPod, you know, everything. Yeah. Like, you would just have a certain number of cassettes, and so you'd make these mixtapes just to listen to the car. And I would listen to those tapes so many times that to this day, when I hear a certain song, my mind will go to the next song on that tape, right?
Why isn't it that? Yeah.
That's right.
No, it's totally true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you make, like, the best of the feelies and you pull, like, songs from a couple different albums, you're like, that's not what comes next on this record. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you like The Fix, Sam, huh? You
I
like
do, that Fix album. Mm-hmm. I've been binging that specific album with that song on it for the last month.
Nice.
And it's good. It just has a really good driving beat. I love
it.
Yeah.
They're not a band I know a lot about. I mean, I know those like hit songs, but they obviously have some lasting appeal.
Without a doubt.
But they were kind of sort of a moody kind of band, right, for that era. They're a British band and then new wave, but they did have a more interesting sound than I think I may have given them credit for before.
Yeah.
I should probably go back and listen to
that.
I think it holds up.
Yeah, I think it holds up. Mm-hmm. I can definitely hear, you know, thinking about that record, I can hear the influence of U2 at times. Also The Church, you know, is in there a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a really good guitar band.
I mean, everybody knows one thing leads to another because that was sort of a pop hit, but Stand or Fall is a more interesting song.
Yeah. Saved by Zero, Red Skies at Night.
Saved by Zero. Yeah.
Good songs.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. I'll have to get my fix in.
Thanks, Christopher.
All right. I think we have one more thing here on the formats.
Mr. Wagner.
Mike Wagner, Houston, Texas, a frequent emailer and longtime listener.
Good friend of the pod.
Yes, says, you asked about music formats. He says, our family has a group Spotify account. My kids do not want to own music, and so a couple of years ago, we got the group account. I think the collaborative playlists are a really cool feature, and I thought about asking some fellow Rock in the Suburbs listeners to contribute to a rotating collaborative playlist. Then he goes on to say, I still carry around my old classic iPod wherever I go. I don't care what people say. I love it. Also, when I want to separate myself from my phone, it is the perfect device to carry with me. I have stopped buying any music and use Spotify for new music and iPod for things I own. I still download podcasts, including this one, onto my iPod. Pretty sure I'm the only person that still does that. And that's from Mike. So
thank you, Mike. Cool. Yeah, that's interesting. My oldest daughter, Sadie, still uses her original classic iPod for running and exercising because she likes to shuffle it and also knows that there are a lot of songs in there she'll probably never be able to get anywhere else or get off. Mm-hmm. And it's a funny thing when you see the charging method that takes place. She has to like take the old charger, put it under a couple of books. and then put it at like an angle so it still charges.
Because the wide charger?
That thing is really wide.
It's, it's that 30-pin connector,
Yeah, and the thing itself is probably a good workout because it's pretty heavy, the original click wheel iPod,
Oh, this is the original click wheel.
This is the original
white one.
Yeah, way back there.
I have a click wheel one, but it's a little bit later on, and it's pretty lightweight, pretty thin.
This one's pretty thick and heavy. But I think it was the first one we got.
Oh, the first one? That explains so much. Like little bricks. Those are not most likely the 30-pin connectors.
It's amazing that it still works.
Yeah.
It really is.
The first iPod I had, it was a third-gen Nano. It was 8 gigs, and it was a product red. So when I got one for Christmas, my brother got a silver one. I got the red one. And for some reason, I don't know why Apple did this, they were the exact same models. The silver one had 4 gigs. The red one had 8.
Wow.
So I guess it was more like, because it's Bono's charity. It's product red.
Right.
Yeah. So you contributed to that. You got this in return. Oh. And it was a good little device. You could play games on it, I think, at that point, and you listen to podcasts, and I downloaded so much music onto that thing.
Well, that's really interesting. Yeah. I never known anyone who downloads podcasts onto their iPod.
Well, I mean, that was before the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're called podcasts because that's how it started.
Right.
You would get them through iTunes on your computer and then hook up your iPod and download the ones you hadn't listened to and listen to it on the go. But it wasn't, podcast didn't really take off until people could get directly to their phone.
That's right.
That was the thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. I got a couple things to say about here. First of all, the collaborative playlist with contributions from Rock in the Suburbs listeners. Are we in on that? Do we want to do that?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
So we need to set that up.
Hell yes.
One of you guys has to set that up.
Okay.
I'm looking at Sam.
When you say one of us, you mean Sam or Mike Wagner.
Yeah. Or Mike Wagner, yes.
I can get it started.
And then I guess people just have to ask and we add them, we give them access
pretty
to it,
much,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just need to know their username, right, on Spotify.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would be it. People have Spotify accounts. We could just set up a master playlist that people can just add to, right?
Yeah, incredible. And then they just find the list.
Will there be any rules to this on how this is going to work? Because we don't want people dumping, you know, 8,000 songs on there, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's just, what is it? So we have to, should we come up with some parameters?
I think we need to.
Hmm. All right. So let's think about that. Or maybe people can suggest some things.
Yeah.
How we can
how
do
about
this.
Some suggestions.
Yeah. That I think that'd be good.
But it'd be cool to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. All right. So we'll work on that. We'll get that going. Oh, the other thing he says here, when he talked about using the old classic iPod, as you guys discussed, he said it's when he wants to separate himself from his phone. Hmm. And I'm curious about this because I am never separated from my phone. My phone is with me all the time. I feel weird if I don't have my phone.
Yeah,
I agree. It's just become a part of me now.
I can't compute this when you want to separate yourself from your phone. It's just,
well, I know of some people that actually find it relaxing to be not in touch with the world and just sort of be off in their own little place. Mm-hmm. So I can get where he's coming from.
Have you ever done this? It's a visual demonstration here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
This is how
can't
sick
believe your
I am
phone
about
so
my
far away from you.
Yeah, I had to reach back for 1 second. This is, but I knew where it was.
Yeah.
This is how sick I am about my phone and having to know where it is all the time. Sometimes I will I usually carry it in my back pocket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sometimes I will be walking and have my phone in my hand, but because I don't feel it in my back pocket, I think I don't have it.
That happens all the time.
And so I'm
freaking out.
Where's my phone? Where's my phone? Oh, it's in my hand.
Heart just rushes and it's really unhealthy. Yeah. It freaks me out that we've come to this point.
It's a sickness. It's a sickness. I admit this. What else does he say here? Stop buying any music. So he's just all in on the streaming.
That's and his fantastic. Kid's not wanting to buy music either.
That
I mean, I don't know how
me.
Old his kids are, though.
That doesn't surprise me.
Not at all.
My kids have no interest.
No.
Really?
Except for Sadie. Mm-hmm. The two other offspring just stream it. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. All right, cool. All right, let's get out of here.
Cool. Yeah. We'll thanks, Mike. More. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Christopher.
Yeah, excellent.
From
excellent
the PDX.
Contribution. So, and we're going to have more coming up soon. So the way you can send in those emails, email us rock@suburbspod.com or you can Facebook comment us like as Kevin did.
Mm-hmm.
You can find us on Facebook at Suburbs Pod. Same thing with Twitter and Instagram. Or you can call, leave a message. We play the messages
612-440-1984.
All right. And with that, it's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
And we'll talk to you guys soon. Make no promise.
Only songs by bands with left-handed guitar players.
So oddly specific.